The Science Show on RN. And so, inevitably, we turn to coal, very much a matter of concern in China. What if you heard that 400,000 people, twice the population of Wollongong, more than the population of Canberra, and nearly the population of Tasmania, die every year as a result of pollution caused by burning coal in China alone? Makes most other causes of death look trivial. Those are some of the numbers you can hear Dan Greenbaum produce. He's president of the Health Effects Institute in Boston, Massachusetts. Give me some of the figures worldwide of how much pollution in the air is causing deaths.
Outdoor air pollution is estimated at causing close to 3 million deaths each year from a number of heart and lung diseases.
Which are the main countries affected?
Well, the biggest impact, over half of the impact, is really in developing countries of Asia, and China and India are at the top of that list.
In China, still burning coal.
Coal is the single largest source of the impacts in China. They are starting to reshape their use of coal, use less of it, but it's going to take them some time to wean themselves off of the coal altogether.
Is there any idea of how many deaths are caused each year from coal burning in China?
Well, our latest analysis suggests that close to 400,000 deaths a year are caused by coal burning. That's from several sources. It's from electric power plants, from industries, and also there's still a fair amount of coal burned in homes for heat and cooking.
That's a gigantic figure, 400,000.
It's an enormous impact, and it's one that is even more enormous when you realize that it is preventable, that there are actions that one can take. And to their credit, the Chinese have begun to take some of those actions, requiring new controls on coal-fired power plants and requiring the newest plants to be much, much cleaner.
Is it a similar problem in India, or is it vehicles plus coal or what?
India has not built as many coal-fired power plants yet, but they have many, many coal-fired power plants on the drawing board. The mixtures in India are much more complex. Traffic is not the single largest. In Delhi, it's a significant contributor, but there's a tremendous amount of biomass burning, both from agricultural use, from brick kilns, and from household burning of biomass. And in any given bad pollution day, as much as half of the pollution is coming from those sources.
In case we become smug in places like Australia or the United States, we still have a problem, do we?
We still do have an air pollution problem. We've all made dramatic improvements in the developed world, but the air pollution continues to come from power plants. In the U.S., we've now gone to under 50% coal, but it's still 40% coal. Our vehicles are cleaner, but there are more of them. And so we still have a number of parts of the U.S., and I think that's true in Australia, that don't meet the ambient air quality standards.
When people are doing the addition, are doing the accounting for the cost of various things, do they pay enough attention to the real cost in human lives and the need to look after people health-wise who suffer from these diseases?
Well, there's a concept called externalities, or the external cost, that is usually not considered when we decide how are we going to generate energy, what kinds of energy sources are we going to use. And they're only considered once you either require that analysis, or if you require the person who's building the power plant to add controls, then they are then having to internalize the cost of avoiding the pollution.
It's interesting that Australia is very keen to keep selling our coal to places like India, and yet some of the forecasts suggest that India is more interested perhaps in developing its own resources. How much really should we consider the fact that there are sufficient alternatives to all of this to be able to do without coal in a different kind of future?
Well, there's an interesting marketplace in the global coal marketplace going on as we speak, because as countries like the U.S. are moving away from coal and China is starting to move away from coal, those places that are producing the coal, including parts of the United States, are looking increasingly to the export markets. But I think what we're going to see with something like the Paris Agreement and continued attention to that is that that worldwide market is likely to get smaller rather than larger. I was at a meeting about setting a coal cap in Beijing in November, and one of the people who showed up there, and it was a meeting including a lot of the local provincial officials, was an official from the state of Wyoming in the United States, the biggest coal exporter in the United States, arguing to the officials that they really shouldn't set controls on coal in China because he sees that as his major future market.
Did he get a polite response?
Well, the Chinese would be polite in that case. I don't think that most of the people there who were supporting a coal cap were terribly pleased that he was there at all.
And what do you hope to do with the information that you're gathering on the effects of atmospheric pollution? What's the next step for you?
Well, we always say that our work begins with the publication of the report. It doesn't end. And a very important part of what we do is communicate those results in understandable terms to the decision makers, whether it be at the Ministry of Environmental Protection in China or the ministries that are making these decisions in India, so that they can in turn understand that if they take certain actions, those actions would have particularly significant health benefits.
And are you getting a good reception?
We are. The Chinese ministry is very interested in this work. Part of that is because we base our work not just on Western information, but working with Tsinghua University and the China CDC. But also in India, they're starting to be much more receptive to getting this information and using it. There was just the first major report of the Ministry of Health on the importance of air pollution causing bad health.
And just imagine the cost. No wonder coal firms like Peabody are floundering. The numbers are staggering. Dan Greenbaum is president of the Health Effects Institute in Boston, Massachusetts.